are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, before we start officially, there's tons of pizza left. So I would rather see it go to a good home than in the trash.
Right.
So
take it home.
Yes,
yeah,
please.
You can have,
find
some.
It a good home. Are we all...
Take some for Isaac.
Everybody ready then?
Yes.
We will not... We will reconvene.
Okay.
And we'll continue with Pearl's update.
Thank you very much. Okay, we did complete the hiring of the wages staff. They will be going through 2 weeks training in the center. We did that for the first time last year, and it was really very effective. It was a very good thing to do. This year, the one difference we have is that we're actually hiring a coordinator of the program who happens to be someone that's worked the program in previous years, because it ends up being a pretty all-consuming job for Carlos, who has one or two other things on his plate. And so we're going to try that this year, and hopefully that'll help. We have 12 people signed up. There is not any money from Workforce or Congress this year, so the commission will be paying for all the wages of the wages students. So that's going to increase the cost, but still, it's a really valuable program. So we had career planning training for North Platte VR counselors, North Platte District VR counselors. And then the placement committee is, or the placement conference will be happening next week, and a lot of planning has been put into that. Let's see. Job development, folks are working on some on-the-job training opportunities. One example that I thought was really creative is working with a person who wants to be an event planner for conferences, and Ameristar is working on, at the corporate level, to develop a position that would start as an OJT, on-the-job training, and transfer into a full-time position. So that looks like a great opportunity. And maybe Ameristar has good experience with this, that there are lots of different kinds of jobs at a place like Ameristar, so that might be an option for people in the future. Looking to set up a group teaching in April in Norfolk, or no, we had one, I'm sorry. So that was a good thing. The Norfolk office also worked with South Dakota and Iowa blind agencies for an open house for employers in the Sioux City area. So this was a really good way to connect with employers out there. Then Omaha had their TABS, the group teaching for teenagers, and they did a joint project with the United Way for volunteering. Focus was on literacy and educating the public about Braille. The hand-in-hand group, the deaf-blind group, met. Unfortunately, it was the same weekend as the ACBN convention, but still, that was a good opportunity.
Didn't they tour the Capitol building?
Yes, they did. And Deafblind Awareness Week is coming up. I think it's this next week, if I recall.
I thought it was in June.
Not sure about that. Bob, when is Deafblind Awareness Week?
Well, usually it's in June during the week of Ellen Coe's birthday.
That's right, which is
June 27th.
Oh, toward the end of June. Okay, thank you. Let's see. Tech team is meets on a regular basis right now. Or the last week of April, ending May 3rd, Larry Olson of Omaha went to extended JAWS scripting training in Florida. So we'll certainly he'll be working with employers when he gets back on that, or now that he's back. Just lots going on. North Platte had their FYI for your independence group teaching in April. Seems like everything was in April, which is... That was a good opportunity. We've had some internships at Sheldon Art Gallery and clerical work, and at some hotels as a housekeeper, job shadowing at St. Elizabeth's. The search, project search, which is mainly for transition age clients to work in a hospital setting, and we now have, we're partnering with the Voc Rehab Agency on this, and we now have one in Grand Island and Lincoln, and is it Norfolk? I'm not sure. There's a couple that are in the works, but recently the Lincoln one had its open house at St. Elizabeth's, and for that one, it's actually the Waverly and Norris school districts that are participating. So that's a good thing. Kathy Stevenson has been working on the annual inventory. It's a scanning process, and it's something she puts a lot of work in to make sure things are done right. She's working with me a lot on, of course, all kinds of things, too numerous to really mention. She does all the setting of arrangements for people attending training sessions and conventions in the summer, as well as the state ones, of course, but she's been working on that lately. Also working on ways to improve our use of email, make it more functional for people. And also we're learning, there are laws about records retention, which we've always kind of paid attention to in terms of paper records. But we're learning that we actually really need to apply those same regulations on records retention to emails. And so we shouldn't keep everything, but we also shouldn't delete everything. And so we're kind of learning what a good way to manage all that that can be systematic and have in our, you know, storehouse, basically, things that we need to keep and get rid of things that we don't need to keep. Some of this stuff we'll address in later sections of the meeting. Open enrollment just finished. As of yesterday, employees had to make their benefit choices for the benefit year. And I talked a little bit earlier about the business enterprise, so I don't need to go into that again. The e-force, that's going well. The part that will work with independent living clients is still in the works, and Bob and Dottie are working on that quite a bit to get that set up so people can really use that. What have I been doing? Of course, state plan, budget things, personnel things. What am I forgetting, Bob? Anything major that I haven't mentioned that I should? I think those are really the main things. There's always lots of good work going on, and so I try to just hit highlights for you, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
I think we've roasted Pearl enough today.
Thank you. I wonder if it's hot.
We'll move on. Our next section is old business. And the first item there is the budget update.
All righty. Let's see, where did I? First of all, for our current budget expenditures and the status currently, case service expenditures are down, were down in April, which is typical this time of year. But it's a good thing. We're still over budget for our 2010 case services, but it's a much rosier picture than it had been. Earlier this year, we projected to be about $200,000 over budget, and now it's just under $20,000 over budget. So that's a good thing. it doesn't mean it's good that we're not spending money on clients. We don't want to get that misinterpretation, but rather there is a point of where you know if the case services gets way out of hand, then we don't have money to pay the phone bill and people. So it is something we have to watch all the time. Social Security funds, we do currently have about $100,000 left that must be used by the end of September of 2010. We have to watch how that is working. We did get recently an extra just under $83,000 of reimbursement for two different clients. And Dottie continues to do a really good job with tracking employment and seeing at what point we can apply for reimbursement. So that's, and then when we get the funds back, they can be used for us. I mean, we can keep them for a certain period of time. And so, of course, the newer funds coming in, we have, and I'm sorry, I can't say if it's 2 years or what, but we have longer to use those funds, so then we try to use the ones that are going to be expiring anytime soon. So it's a little bit of juggling, but it's still important. Helps us maintain the cash flow, basically, to make sure we do have the funds we need, especially when the federal fiscal year ends. We often do not get the next year's federal money for a while. It can be up to several months. And so we have to be able to manage the cash flow so that when we're short of 80% of our budget, the federal money, if it's not coming in, we've got state funds and Social Security reimbursement and whatever else that we can use to get us over that gap.
Quick question.
Yes.
On the Social Security reimbursement money, can those be used for any expense?
They can be used for any expense that we're allowed to spend money on. You know, so they can be for voc rehab, they can be for independent living. We can't use them to do something that's not allowed by state law, like a beer party for the board.
Well, no, they can be like case services or the phone bill.
Yes,
or salary.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. It can be operations, case services, salaries, whatever we whatever we like.
Yeah, that's...
But still within the scope of what's allowable by state and federal law.
Yeah, no beer party.
So... was there another question?
But just, I guess I should know this, but is this reimbursement because we have people successfully employed, so then they reimburse?
Yes, that's good to clarify that. When an individual client who is on Social Security disability, if they become employed to the substantial level that they get off of that public support, that's when Social Security kicks in. We can request reimbursement for all the money we spent to get them rehabilitated and employed. And Social Security, if they approve, you know, this whole process, and if they approve what we submit, then they'll reimburse fully what we've spent. So, yeah.
Okay, kind of what I thought, but it explains it better than I do.
Okay, good.
When you submit those reimbursements, you include staff time with that as well?
Yes, and there's a formula for all of that.
Okay.
So that's good. Then we also received approval for the $10,000 Enrichment Foundation grant that we received. We got it, I think, in about October or December. But then we had to go through a process for approval. So we did get that. That's specifically for the Omaha area, primarily funding for independent living equipment to blind individuals in Omaha area. And Julie, there's a question from the...
Della, is that who asked?
Yes.
Okay. We established some time ago Friends of the Commission. Is that still active? Is there any activity, any money coming into the Friends of the Commission?
Okay. Friends of the Commission meets quarterly. So, yes, it's active in that sense. They do have some funds available. It's a little less than it used to be because some of it's in stocks, and they lost some value there. They are currently working on a project accountants, CPAs who will be, say, working with people and setting up a trust or, you know, their what they're going to do with their money when they leave this earth, and encouraging these professionals to encourage their clients to give money to Friends of the Commission. So they have that project in the works. The biggest thing that they are assisting the commission with right now is sort of a petty cash fund that enables us to help people on kind of emergency basis. Sometimes it's somebody gets to Lincoln for the center and they don't have money for medications or that sort of thing. So we're able to just provide funds. And it's gotten to where almost always the clients actually pay back the fund. And so that's a really nice thing that it allows some money, for those last minute urgent situations that we wouldn't be able to spend agency money on. And it's nice that people are paying it back, I think, because then they have some investment, and it also helps the next person that needs something.
Well, it's good. The idea is still there.
It's still there. Other than that little fund, we have not requested any support from them since about 05, or the period of time Bob was talking about. Then on other budget stuff, the statewide, the receipts are down. The forecasting board is continuing to give some doom and gloom pictures for us. There will be another 5% cut in the overall budget of every state agency, so we will have some less some less funds to deal with. In the budget bill, which was passed in the session that ended recently, there is a requirement that we are going to be working on here very soon, requiring all agencies to develop an agency efficiency review plan, which will include consolidating existing programs within the agency, opportunities for streamlining existing services, reforms needed to reduce the number of employees and layers of management within the agency, a review of all mandates and requirements imposed on the agency and the results of eliminating or changing the mandates and requirements, the structural and operational changes needed for the agency to move from a 5-day to a 4-day work week. And that doesn't mean 40 hours within 4 days. It means cutting staff to a 32. Well, it's sort of more like, it's not layoffs, but it's more like an imposed furlough.
Right.
If everybody's required to work 32-hour weeks instead of 40.
Wow. What is the time frame on those?
This must be... We have to have this plan to the legislature, well, to the Appropriations Committee and the clerk of the legislature by September 1st, 2010.
Pearl?
Yes.
If something like that were to occur where you'd move to a 32-hour work week, doesn't that affect state employees' benefits? Isn't there a 40-hour work week requirement for their benefit package?
I expect... I don't know for sure. I do know that when we did voluntary furloughs for a while, and the really nice thing about that was that they were able to maintain their benefits packages.
Okay.
So it's not like they were in the part-time status, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I would think that if furloughs are mandated, that same thing would hold.
Okay.
I would think.
Okay.
I know that some agencies already have implemented furloughs, but we haven't had to yet. But anyway, we'll have to come up with a plan for how we would move to that if it's decided we have to. So that's kind of a major, all of those pieces are a fairly major deal that we really just learned about. That we'll have to be working on.
Can you respond by saying that it is impossible for us to do that due to the services we need?
I'm sure every agency will be putting some language in that relates to how this will harm the people who benefit from the agency. We have to be responsible about,
sure,
given realities, yeah, of budget and realities of the needs of our clientele, what would be, we'll definitely point out the threats, but we also have to say how we might be able to make it work.
Because if you don't do it, somebody's going to do it for you.
Right.
That's not what you want.
Yeah. And my first thought, and we haven't sat down to really go through this, but where I start thinking is, okay, field work, you know, you set appointments, you work around, certainly you'd be able to do less in 32 hours, but still you could, to some extent, you know, gear your schedule so you're really out there with clients more or something. The center, where, although it's not a 24-hour institution, it is a set program, pardon me, that, you know, it's intensive training, and to move that to a 4-day week, I think we would really question or threaten the integrity of that program. So we'll have to really have some conversations. If any of you have thoughts about any of that, off the top, with no warning that we were going to be even thinking about this, either now or, of course, at any time, send us your ideas.
The first thing that comes to my mind, and I don't know that this will work in the more rural communities, but Lincoln and Omaha, like, especially for the field counselors, to do more group teaching things where you're working with a lot of people at once.
Yeah, that's a strategy.
I don't know. Just what popped into my head.
Yeah. Bob will help us remember these ideas, won't you, Bob?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, he's taking copious notes.
But yeah, it would be things like that we would need to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Also, you all know that when we got to town yesterday, we did tour the North Platte office as well as a building connected to or adjacent to the North Platte office, where we've been invited to leave our current space and move into this other space to save both our agency money and to save the Boak Rehab Agency money. So we're looking at that, and if we do it a certain way, if we only had four offices and not the kitchen, but just kind of use the kitchen on an occasional basis, that would save us about $15,000 a year if we rent or if we move to these four offices plus including the kitchen space in our rent. It would save us about $3,000 a year. So that's not quite as impressive. But we're also looking at the idea of staying where we are, but cutting down on some of the space that we currently have. And that needs to be computed yet. I don't know how much that will save us. But then any change in our rent or our residing in state office buildings always has to be approved by State Building Division. So that's we have to come up with our proposal and then see if they'll approve it.
Great. And I think you said yesterday that the building where Boak Rehab is also a state
agency. Yes.
Okay. So it would be more likely that they would approve that move, do you think?
Yes, I think that. If we wanted to move out of there into a storefront downtown, it would be
much less
likely.
Okay. You know, seeing the space, my feeling would be that the better option would be to move over to the next building. It's
a small office.
Yeah, the office they have now is pretty small, and I just can't imagine being able to be very efficient with less space. But of course, I mean, budget is going to have to be a big, big factor in what works and what doesn't.
Right. Well, and like one staff member said, if it can save somebody a job, then
yeah,
sure, let's move. Mm-hmm. But basically, we're looking at all of this. We do on an ongoing basis anyway, but even more so right now with these tough economic times. Any other questions about budget? Or Bob, anything you think?
Well, I don't recall discussing whether or not toys was factored in the other place. You know, we talked about four offices then, and kitchen area, maybe, maybe not. But what about storage?
Yeah, that's a good... some of the offices we're looking at do have adequate space for cupboards and shelving and storage. Extra closet space was not factored in to these figures that I gave you.
Because I do think, you know, we do get some repossessed equipment.
Mm-hmm, true.
You know, so... I just want that to be on the table too.
Right. Yeah, we'll need to look at that.
Yeah.
And that's just the North Platte office. You know, we might be looking at all kinds of things. Back in the year that we had to lay people off, we looked at closing an office. And if we had done so, it would have been Norfolk or Kearney. You know, closing one of the smaller offices. But when we looked at what it would cost us to set people up to work from home, which we would need to do, and just the logistics of the whole thing. We ended up not really saving any money, which is why we didn't close any offices. But that's something that, if things got really tight with the budget, that would be something we'd have to look at really seriously again.
Ooh, that was good timing.
Other comments, questions, concerns from the board about budget? Okay, we'll move on. Our next topic is Department of Administrative Services and Nebraska Information System. Update, concerns, current issues.
Okay. What we used to call NIS now is called EDGE, and it's still kind of the same thing, but anyway, on the good side, as I said earlier, we recently completed the open enrollment for employees to opt for their benefits for the next year. And we do that now all electronically through EDGE. And the user options for state employees. When we first went to NIS, accessibility was a major problem. And this time, NIS, the people could go into EDGE and actually get, you know, it actually worked with the screen readers, and so I was very pleased at that. And new things are being done to make the process for approving authorizations at certain levels. They have to be approved by supervisor, then district, then deputy director, then me, and so they're doing some things that is really going to make it more feasible, or just plain feasible, for the deputies to do their part, which in the past has been a major problem. So I think that's encouraging. And beyond that, that's really about it on the NIS and the personnel update.
Questions from the board? No? I can't think of anything, so we'll move on. Our next section is NFB Newsline update. And that will be Jamie.
I'm going to set my computer aside here. Take off that hat and put on this other hat over here.
I tell you what.
And Jamie, we'll have your electronic report too attached to the minutes, right?
Yes, and it will be sent out to everybody too.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. And of course, my written report will be more complete sentences and paragraphs probably than I'm going to do right now, but I'm not going to read it word for word here. In my last report that I submitted in February, a couple of new things that happened were the voices. There's two new voices on Newsline. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback about the new voices. However, the users that have been using Newsline for quite some time still prefer the eloquence. So a lot of people are calling up saying, you know, how do I switch back and forth and whatever, because they're just so used to the eloquence voice on there that they want to go back. Each time a new person subscribes now, the default voice is Paul, but that can always be changed in the menu. So there's some, I mean, there's a lot of positive feedback, but you have people that, you know, you get used to one thing and you don't want to switch. So. The other new feature I talked about back in February was how you are able to receive an article emailed to you. You just press #9 on your phone and it'll email you an article. So we've gotten quite a bit of response on that. A lot of people calling up asking to have their email address added to their database. so that they can, because you have to have that in the database in order to use that feature. But that's pretty cool. That way, if you're going through listening to an article and you'd like to look at that later or whatever, just have it emailed to you and go through it that way. As far as any other new features right now, there's not a lot going on. They're constantly improving the website. Of course, on the Newsline online website, you can get everything you can on the phone. You can get your newspapers, your TV listings. You can get the local information, magazines. You know, all that stuff can also be accessed on the web.
Just not activated. My documents,
more
than 30.
Sorry.
Just talking about this. And they, back in February, they did also announce that the BookSense was now able to do the in-your-pocket software where you can download the articles from the web into your stream or your BookSense now, and so that's been handy. We have a few new stats, but I'm going to start with February stats first because the March is when they started the new stats. So, with the February stats, let's see here. We have, okay, in February, we had 1,389 subscribers. The subscribers in February used a total of 18,386 minutes, and they were on the phone for an average of 15.42 minutes per call. The emails that were received were 3,208. And
that's using that new timeline feature?
No, that's just emails sent to their actual inbox. Because you can still have that feature where you can send it to the right. To your inbox. Yep. Yeah. So that's. Oh, and there were 4 new subscribers added in February. Then we go into March. They started doing some new stats in March, and so it's exciting. Okay, so in March, we had 1,391 subscribers. We only had. Can we speed up?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
We only had 2 new people added in March, but the total emails were 2,898 minutes used. Were 21,132. The average call stayed on the phone for 17.76 minutes. And here's kind of some new stuff that's fun. The amount of times that the state papers were accessed, they were accessed 3,395 times in the month of March. Those are our state newspapers. Our state information channel, which has the information up there on the commission, the NFB, the ACB, public health information, and public transit information, that was accessed 107 times. And the TV listings were accessed 413 times. So that's some new little information they're able to tell. So that really helps me with the local channel too, because I'm able to tell if people are actually using that local channel. And they were able to tell how many people use the local number versus the 800 number, and 56% of the subscribers used the local number in March. That feature did come out a while ago, but for whatever reason, they didn't have it for February. I'm not sure why. Okay, now we're going to go on to April. In April, we had 1,401 subscribers, 10 new subscribers in the month of April. Emails were 3,870. Minutes used were 16,763. And the average call lasted... Oh, 16.17 minutes. The state newspapers were accessed 3,106 times. The state information channel was accessed 214 times, so it was up in the month of April. And TV listings were accessed 341 times, so it was down in April. Okay. And percentage of local calls for the month of April was 56, so it's about the same of all 3 months. Okay, so far in May, of course, we're only 15 days in, but so far in May, we have 1,405 subscribers. The amount of new subscribers, there's 4 new subscribers so far this month. And we did get some print applications that have not been processed yet from the OIB conference, so they'll be more than 4. But let's see, the minutes used were... Okay, wait a minute. Oh, well, of course that's right, because it's only halfway through the month. Okay, the minutes used are 8,776. And the average call is lasting 17 minutes and 77 seconds. The emails that were sent were 2,140. The state papers have so far been accessed 1,075 times. The state information channel has been accessed 69 times. And the TV listings have been accessed 173 times. And once again, the percentage of local calls is 56%. So, that's really able to tell us a lot as far as our usage goes. You know, I know we get the question a lot, how many people are using Newsline? And so far, they can't, you know, tell me on a daily basis how many people. They can tell how many times Newsline is accessed, but how many different people. I mean, I could call that number 50 times in one day, and it's going to, you know, think that's just 50 logins. So they're still not able to access to tell us how many people actually access it on a daily basis or even a monthly basis, but they're working on those features. With the local calls, it tells us, you know, that means that they're calling that local number, so it's not costing us as much money. 56% of the people calling into Newsline are using that, so that's pretty good. I try and get that number out there as much as I can, encourage people that have, you know, the information on their, the long distance on their cell phones to use it, if they're able, or on their home phones even. But of course the 800 number is still out there for anybody to use too. And again, like I said, with the state information channel, it's nice to know how many times that's being accessed, you know, with that information up there. Sometimes you wonder if anybody's even looking at it, but... You know, I do my best to get everything up there as soon as possible, so. I did have a table at the OIB conference for Newsline, and I just basically handed out information, updated some contact information for people. We were not able to do demonstrations because of the area that was used for the exhibitors, so. I was not able to do demonstrations, but I had a few people that stopped by and, you know, asked questions. Like I said, a few people did sign up, and people updated their contact information. So, and I think that is it.
Jamie,
mm-hmm.
Do you, I can't remember the last time that, and maybe because you know me, I just never, it just was so smooth, I didn't know it, it didn't happen, but, you know, the 1,400 and, one or 1,411 subscribers now.
Mm-hmm.
How often do they get purged? Meaning?
Oh, to go through and see like who's passed away and
doesn't live in the Nebraska anymore.
Right, yeah. Right. I try and do that pretty often, and you know, I try and keep up with people too, as far as, you know, if somebody says, oh, so-and-so moved, then, you know, I'll go into that database and look up that information and give that person a call saying, you know, you've moved, do you want to switch your information to another state? And a lot of times they don't want to, because they still want to be connected with our local papers. Like, you know, we have some people that have moved to Baltimore or to Texas, and, you know, their stuff is still with us technically, their, all of their information, because they want the local. Of course, you can get the local, and they could get Nebraska papers. It would just be more steps than just going into that main menu, so. But yeah, I try and go through there pretty often.
Okay.
And I've never made it through the entire list calling every single person. I've always wanted to do that, but I've never been able to do that. So one of these times I'll take like 3 weeks off from the commission and and call all 1,405 people, you know, and make sure all their contact information is correct. But one of these days I'll do that.
How does Nebraska compare to other states that have Newsline? As like,
okay,
as far as, especially the subscribers.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Recently, let's see, back in November or October, I had actually gotten an email from the people in Baltimore congratulating us on the minutes used, because we actually have a very low subscriber base. Like, for example, Florida has 20,000 subscribers.
Wow.
And they will add anywhere from 200 to 1,000 subscribers in 1 month.
Wow.
I don't know how they do it. And, of course, down there, they do have a coordinator, but there's absolutely no one-on-one contact with the subscribers. So, and I think that's why they don't use it as much. So with our subscriber base that we have here, it is very small. But our state uses Newsline more compared to our numbers. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
So like Florida has 20,000 people, but they're hardly using any minute. So nobody's calling in, you know. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter the number. I mean, it's who's using it is what matters.
Well, I mean, Florida's, they just have a lot more people to start with.
Right.
So, I mean, that proportionally, mm-hmm. I mean, Nebraska's just a mm-hmm. lot of cornfields, so that makes sense, you know, that we would have lower, but I'm just thinking proportionally,
right?
For our population to the number of subscribers, mm-hmm. is
mm-hmm. I think our subscriber number is good compared to our population. I think we're doing pretty well as far as that goes. You know, they just were really impressed that we use so many minutes each month.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have a question. You gave the percentage of people who use the local numbers.
Uh-huh.
Is there a way to tell if, because there would be some of the Nebraska users who are not local to the local number?
Well, and technically the local number is actually out of Chicago.
Okay.
So it's not a local number.
Okay. Or who don't have minutes.
It's a 773 number.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure how to start.
That's okay.
This, but okay. The thing is, the agency, the commission pays for the usage that's not either your own free minutes that mm-hmm. you use to call the, quote, local number.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wondered if there's a way to find out of the people who really could use that
mm-hmm.
free number compared to, you know, we certainly don't mind at all paying for the usage of where people don't have a way to call.
Right, right.
But if they can't, we pay for the system anyway
mm-hmm,
as a
mm-hmm.
system, and on top of that we pay for the usage
right.
based on minutes calling into that.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly
you're paying the toll-free bill for our usage is what you're getting.
Yes, that's right.
So
I wonder if people know that.
Right.
When we talk about budget issues, if it's going to save us a bunch of money, then.
Yeah, and I try and stress that, you know, a lot of times when I'll do my talks and stuff.
Good.
So were you kind of asking, though, if I can tell who uses the local versus who uses the toll-free?
Well, I started with that.
Okay.
But actually, I know that one of the points made is for people who, if you have free calling on your phone,
mm-hmm.
then use it, you know, use that long distance number instead of being toll free.
Right.
So,
Bob Deaton, go ahead.
Yeah, when you call in, like I'm a user, you know, when you call in, it does tell you that that you can call this number and it would be less expensive. You know, I forget exactly.
Right, I have that in my greeting. Yeah.
Okay.
So people are getting that information when they call.
Okay.
And, you know, when they very first sign up, that's in the letter that they receive and stuff.
Okay.
You know, I think a lot of it is just habit. You know, people
yes.
pick up that phone and they dial the 8888. You
yeah.
know, I mean, they just know that number.
Right.
So part of it's just habit. Because there are people out there who only have cell phones and they're still using the 800 number.
Right.
Which is kind of silly because they're still paying for minutes no matter if they're using
right.
the 800 number or
right.
another number.
And that is true. You know, like for myself, you know, I've gotten the number... the toll-free number memorized, but
right.
the new regional number, I forget that. You know,
mm-hmm.
it kind of goes out of my short-term memory. You know?
Right.
But I bet you if folks, if they were the ones paying the bill,
right,
then you'd remember
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's not a bad number to remember. I mean, you know, you
yeah.
just got to dial it a few times.
Well,
or put it in your speed dial, you know.
With your comment about some folks who actually have moved to other states that want to stay in the Nebraska system,
mm-hmm.
well, that's lovely, you know.
Right.
That means the Nebraska Commission is still paying their bill.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't take them out of the system when they move, Jamie?
No.
It's up to
well,
them. Whatever.
Yeah, you know, I'll contact them and say, I can transfer your information over to let's say they moved to Iowa, you know, I can give their information. Well, actually all I have to do is go in and change their area code and it switches them over to the state that they're living in. But
yeah,
some people choose to stay with the Nebraska stuff so that all the newspapers are right there on that main menu. They don't have to search for them.
Mm-hmm.
But Pearl does make a good point. I mean, we
right.
are technically paying for
yeah,
people
right.
from out of state, so. So I don't know, you know, if we'd want to, I don't know if we'd want to mandate that, you know, you've moved, sorry, you need to go to another state. I don't know.
But
I don't
they still have access to those newspapers, though.
But here's one difference, too. You're absolutely right.
Right.
We talked about that. But now, it used to be that not every state had access to Newsline, and that's not true anymore.
No, that's still true. There's still some states that there's not Newsline. Yeah.
Okay, so... If one of these people were to, for instance, move to a state that doesn't have Newsline,
right.
they definitely wouldn't want to get transferred.
Right. There's
sure.
Yeah, there's no reason to transfer them there.
Well, but I'm saying
access,
if they move to Iowa, transfer them over there to say you're transferred.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the way to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's just one or two, it may not
well,
be
Well, I can think of
four
people off the top of my head.
Four
you know,
people?
Four people.
Okay.
But... You know, I haven't gone through the entire list and called everybody to see if they've moved, but,
right.
you know, four people I've talked to personally that I know of,
mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah.
And there's one person I can think of in particular that's been out of the state for a good, I don't know, 7 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I could call her up. I could call her up and say, hey, you know, is there a particular reason you've never switched?
Or,
know,
I mean, if that person is on her own dime calling the Chicago number.
Right.
Then that's fine.
Right.
No
yeah,
problem.
Just encourage her to...
But
yeah.
if they're using the toll-free, just
mm-hmm.
so people know, we pay for those.
Yeah. Payments. Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, really, the stat should probably reflect, be accurate, though, and that she should go underneath whatever state she's living in.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, so I can definitely talk to people about that. One thing that I know some people have had concerns about, so if you guys ever come across somebody that says this, they're like, well, I don't want to call the local number because I won't get the same greeting, you know, it won't be the main menu, it won't log me in automatically. That's not true at all. There's absolutely no difference between the local number and the toll-free number when you call in.
It's
all the same.
It's pointing the same direction.
It's
yeah.
all the same thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
good to know. Thank you.
Is there, Jamie, a copyright infringement when the articles are emailed to people's inbox?
You have to agree that you are not going to forward those on to somebody. They have gotten permission to be able to do that, you know, to send that to your inbox. But you have to actually agree, like on the website, there's a part where you agree not to send that on. Of course, you know, people are going to.
We can't control
anyway.
That. Right.
I mean, that's the way it is in
right.
anything, you know.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, technically, you're not cool. supposed to okay. be doing that. So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Other NFB Newsline questions, comments? Cool.
I kind of enjoyed that in-person report.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, I guess I should have said that at the beginning. I'm glad this is the first time I've ever been able to do one in person. And I've been coordinator since August of 2007, so
yeah.
you know, coming up on 3 years now.
We'll do it again in 3 years.
Yeah.
I will like it.
No, it's really helpful to hear it in person.
It really is, yeah.
Well, yeah, especially if there's questions. You know, it's hard to read the report and... you know, send those questions through email and get a conversation going. So,
cool.
yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Julie, yes. is that something that you want to, that we want to consider later, noodle around for 3 months about making a recommendation that to
people,
get people moved?
If there's a news line in their state, then they
yeah.
should be switched. I will make a note. Thank you,
just,
Jamie, for that.
I think it should just be automatic.
Oh, sure. Well, go ahead. I'll write myself
switch my roles.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's
yeah, I got to put my other hat back on.
If,
and it's
if they're out of the state,
very well.
If
oh, there we go.
Out of the state, they should be out.
Oh, well, we can visit that.
Well, we don't. We can't do that.
No.
That's something Jamie has to take care of.
But the... Yeah, but the agency does pay.
I know.
So it's a...
Pearl, besides the phone bill, the 800 usage... you pay a we, sorry, I keep saying you. We pay a set fee each year
right.
to support Newsline, and that amount. I know this has been told to me before, but please refresh my memory. That amount is
and I as soon
partially,
as I raised it, I thought, what is that exact
number? But I don't need the exact number.
Oh.
But what I'm getting at is, it isn't it based on the number? Is it anything to do with the number
no.
of papers? Or is it just a set fee?
Well, okay, both. It's a set
yeah.
fee, and then when other papers are added,
yeah.
that adds to what we pay $5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
each
so
paper.
When sometimes...
So it, that amount that we pay is not subject at all to the number of subscribers.
No.
So that really doesn't make a difference. Where we're concerned is really the phone bill.
The phone bill, yeah.
Right.
The
we're
phone
paying.
Bill, and then maybe just some accuracy in reporting.
Yeah. The other piece of it, though, is that sometimes Jamie's report will say, we're getting excited about trying to add a paper here or there. I just hope people keep in mind each one that's added, if there's only three people in that town that really actually do care about it,
mm-hmm.
that's $5,000 a year. That
and
adds up.
$10,000 startup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people come to me and they'll be like, well, my local paper's online. You
yes.
know, I know we can get that on Newsline. And it's like, well, yeah, but first of all, there's more technology than just to be online.
Right.
And second,
yeah, right.
Secondly, it's $10,000 to put a paper on there and then $5,000 a year to maintain it. So.
Yeah, and that gets added to the commission bill.
I mean,
okay.
And the actual amount, I actually made a note to myself, it'd be good for me to review on a quarterly basis what it is we're paying so
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I'd have the specifics mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the agency's paying the bill and all, and that's for the 800 number, but I still maintain that if they're move out of state, take them out.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely
that's just
talk
my
to
thought.
You know, I guess I just never even thought
to
of it before.
That. That's
so.
Just common sense.
Yeah. I just never thought of it before, so I will. Julie, do I have time to raise a question real quick?
Uh-huh.
Since, you know, we're all here and I can just raise this question and get some feedback, the one thing that I've, you know, I know that the agency pays for the phone line in Lincoln, that the 8102 that people can call, you know. Well, that, of course, I can only use as a message line. And I just, sometimes I wonder if it's necessary to have it there. I know we need a line somewhere, but I'm wondering if there's some way to, like, do it into my home and do, like, a reimbursement. Would it be cheaper, or is it just as cheap just to keep the line there in Lincoln?
We actually have that line open for a number of usages.
Right, right.
And the cost at the state rate is a lot less than
okay.
normal phone bill.
Okay.
So, nice thought, thank you, but I think we're probably the cheapest possible way is to leave it as it is.
So,
but
so
since that number is in Lincoln and you're paying for it and it's being used for a couple different things, if I understood that right,
mm-hmm.
for outbound calls, would it be fair to say that she could use her desk phone here in North Platte to make those outbound calls? Because then it would come back onto, and then it wouldn't have to be a reimbursed charge.
Well, it definitely had to be after hours. I mean, that's where it get kind of tricky.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still using state equipment for...
Because if
I
she...
I would have to... I don't know. Huber wants to...
This is Hubert. I just want to state that number that the... you talked about, mm-hmm. is at the desk where I work.
Right, right, yeah.
I may make outgoing calls... Mm-hmm. for whatever I'm needing, but I tell everybody that I'm talking to call the switchboard number so there's no calls coming for me to that number.
Right, right, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that if, you know, let's say that you go back several years where we had a different newsline coordinator that lived in Lincoln, I think, correct me here, that, you know, if he needed to make calls, he had the option to come into
right.
the office and make those calls.
Right.
And in the Lincoln office to do that, and this would be the equivalent of that, wouldn't it?
Not quite the equivalent, because at that time the agency paid for these actual contractual fee for
okay.
the newsline coordinator
okay.
in an attempt to cut expenses. We said that we wouldn't hire contract with a separate person, but we were prepared to have the functions of the newsline coordinator be done by support staff in our offices that aren't as busy as some offices. And instead, the NFB of Nebraska chose to have a coordinator.
Okay.
But
so right now, it's safe to assume, Jamie, if somebody calls that 8102 number, then you call them from your home landline or your cell phone.
I get a lot of people that get really frustrated because I never answer that phone. So I have changed the message saying this is a message line only.
Yes.
But yeah, if I call somebody back, it comes from my home number. You know, so they're going to get my home number. And then they end up calling me back at home and things too. So, you know, it's always kind of tricky trying to do that. But yeah, I don't know, you know, any ways around it. But
well, and if you were getting reimbursed, that should be reimbursement from NFB, not from
right.
the agency.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, so.
Excuse me, this is Hubert again. If you are calling from your home phone, I think there's, what, pound 79 or something?
To block it.
To block
Star
it.
67.
Star 67.
Yeah, 67. But then people won't pick up the phone.
Yeah, they
either.
Think you're a telemarketer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, so a lot of times. So.
I do that sometimes, people that call people.
Yeah. So, Pearl, even if we were in the same situation today where the newsline coordinator lived in Lincoln, was not employed by the agency, they would not, because that they're no longer being paid by the commission, they would not have the option any longer to come into the office and make those calls from there.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't want to quickly say yes or no. We'd have to look at it.
Okay. Because I see what you're getting at now. It's a matter of who's responsible for those specific charges, long distance. At least that's where I'm getting at. Kind of
right.
See you're going. Is it an NFB responsibility?
Yeah, we probably need to sit down and review that.
Or is that a commission responsibility or something that the commission was willing to take care of? And
see, yeah, that gets back to where we were wanting to go with it, which was you don't need a separate person to do it. We could handle it with our existing staff, and some of the office support staff are not as busy as others. So we'd probably raise that question again.
Okay.
So
I think that maybe between now and next meeting or the one after that, maybe you guys could visit about that and kind of come up with something that maybe is workable and look at the, you know, the whole cooperative agreement and
well,
see, you know, where the...
Just speaking of remark here, I mean, Jamie should, you know, she should not have to pay to return these people's phone calls from out of her own pocket, whether she bills NFB for it or whatever. You know, it shouldn't come out of her pocket. Period.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's not an agency decision,
no,
though,
not.
Because we don't.
No, it's not.
We do not contract with any individual to coordinate Newsline statewide.
Right.
Right. I guess what I'm thinking at this point that would be the most productive is for Jamie or, you know, an NFB representative or whoever, and Pearl or whoever does it on that end, you know, to manage the news line, to get together and look at the whole cooperative agreement top down and what's working, what's not, where, you know, the whole phone thing. It seems like the... We don't know what's up. So maybe that's the most productive thing at this point, is just to take a look at that and see what's going to work for you, Jamie,
and you know,
where does that make sense? I don't think we're going to get anywhere talking about it today.
No.
That's my point. So, okay. Any other Newsline things that we haven't talked about that people have questions? Okay. We'll move on to our next topic, which is client assistance. Yeah, client cap complaints or issues. I'm tongue-twisted. Okay. Are there any?
Hang on a second.
Pearl's making a note.
All right. There have been two client assistance program cap reports our complaints in the past quarter. One was a question of whether we would be working with the client or the Voc Rehab Agency. Pardon me, the answer was that it should be us, and we are now serving the person, and that case is closed. The second one is still open. The question was whether we could provide or services without sleep shades. The answer was that we can and do that in home teaching activities, but not at the center. And in talking with the CAP director, talked with the counselor in the center, and was informed about receiving services without sleep shades. The client's going to be in touch with other options that are available. That's kind of the overview. CAP did not believe that this was a systemic problem, but something just specific to the person and being dealt with. And then in terms of timeliness of service, CAP is following along with that. And that's all.
Okay. On the second case, was the client specifically interested in center, the orientation center, or
let's just see if I can. I'm not clear on that, but I mentioned earlier about people having the right to request to go to another center elsewhere.
That's what I was just thinking.
That is definitely something. We've actually never had a request for someone wanting to go to, say, someplace like Lions World, or there are training centers around the country that don't use sleep shades. So if someone did the research and identified a place they wanted to go to other than the Nebraska Center for the Blind, we would look at it with the same kind of criteria that we do any such request.
Questions? Comments? Good on that? Okay, thank you. Our next section is public comment. So the public gets another opportunity to ask questions, make comments, whatever's on your mind.
This is Hubert. I do have a question on the budget. When you're talking with the legislators, does the factor that a dollar cut from the state standpoint means a multi-dollar cut from the federal? How much influence does that sway with those guys?
It does make a difference, and we do make the point very clearly all the time. So
and you might have a stronger case in asking them not to chop into the commission's budget as much as other state agencies then.
In normal times, yes.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it was normal. We're kind of not in normal times right now, but
yes,
normally that does make a big difference.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other comments? Anything from commissioners?
No.
Okay, we'll move on then. Our next item is the discussion of the service provider award. That's my own phrasing. We can discuss what to call it or if to call it anything. Where this came from is several months ago, before our last meeting, there was an item from the suggestion box from a staff member noting that the agency has a lot of other agencies that we work with, that we cooperate with, to coordinate services to make sure that the client is getting everything they need to make their case successful, whether it comes specifically from our agency or another agency provides that service. And some of these people do just an outstanding above and beyond job, and the staff member felt like that it would be a great thing for us to recognize that. And at the last meeting, commissioners agreed with that sentiment that it was important to recognize other agencies that do excellent work that we partner with. So, Mike and
I have
Daryl?
What I typed up a week ago.
Okay.
Daryl, nudge. I didn't hear back from you. Oh! 7 days ago. Okay, so Daryl and I were tasked to work on this. After our last meeting, we did have, as a commission board, have several emails that went around. Discussing this a little bit with different ideas and some clarifications and suggestions from all around to really narrow this down to what I think were some good ideas. And I put all my thoughts together here in an email about a week ago, and this is what I have so far. This is my recommendation to be considered possibly. Is that there would be now two awards formed or created. There's no obligation on our part to give out either one any number of times, or once a year or whatever. We do it as we see fit. One of the awards, and this was the name I think I finally came up with that doesn't have a conflict. unless somebody could think of one. There's an Ally in Independence Award. Now, if somebody else comes up with a better one, I'm all ears. The Ally in Independence Award, consist of a nicely framed certificate, small token of our appreciation, maybe a commission coffee mug, so on. This is something that we could give out to an agency, to an organization, to an individual. There might be some verbiage on the certificate, kind of in the form of some sort of a proclamation saying something like, because of your outstanding support of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and your commitment to the independence of blind people, we hereby proclaim you an ally in independence. So that was one. The second one was meant, the second award was meant to be more revered, I guess. Something that we don't hand out quite as often, something that is given out for a more outstanding contribution, deed, so on. I personally liked the idea of naming it after someone. So at this point, I was moving forward with the recommendation of the James Nyman Award. I have not asked him if he would be okay with that, and I'm willing to give him a phone call. I think that's appropriate to ask him if he would be all right with that. But there would be a James Nyman Award that would be, you know, something a little nicer, wooden plaque, so on, given to an organization that maybe does something a little more out of the ordinary to support us. And that's what I had kind of put together at this point.
Thoughts? We're just full of ideas.
I honestly don't remember. When did we talk about
7 days ago.
Good God.
That's all right.
Jim, you always have ideas.
No, I don't.
I think given...
Go ahead.
Given what James Nyman did for the services for the blind at the time and moving us in the direction that we did, he accomplished a lot, and I think it would be appropriate to use that name if he was willing, because we never had an agency that did anything like what he did then and what we're doing now. I mean, he kind of set that in place. You know, whether a person disagrees or disagrees,
I have to agree with that, because I think it has evolved, and whereas, we all know the things that Pearl has carried on and added to and done, Dr. Nyman's in a lot of ways started us on the right footing, with the staff that he had available, including Pearl. And I do feel like that's appropriate. Perhaps, somebody might say that, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. But he got us started. He really did push things forward and was always a proponent of making this a separate agency type thing too. And I really feel like that's appropriate. I do like the idea of two different awards. One, maybe a minor award that can be given to someone that, maybe they do something 1 year that's really wonderful, and it's like, okay, we should recognize them and whatever. And then the other Dr. Nyman Award to be given to somebody that maybe over years and years, maybe 5, 10 years or whatever, maybe longer, that has continually done something for us, that it's, as you said, a more revered award. So, yeah, I do like what you've come up with. And I do think it's a good idea, in case I didn't get that point across.
Well, Julie, if it's the board's will to move forward, I would be willing to give him a call if you would like me to, or if that's something you would like to do. Either way, I would be happy to give Mr. Nyman a call, Dr. Nyman a call, and talk to him about what we're proposing and why, and see if it would be all right if we used his name.
Okay.
Knowing Nyman, he probably won't object.
Is this what we want? Do we want to do two awards with those names pending that Dr. Nyman's okay with that?
Do we have a plan B in case he does have an issue with it?
I do not at this time. We can definitely continue to,
okay,
to look.
Yeah, I don't think there's any big rush or
no,
time
I agree
frame
with
on
yeah.
this.
I agree with you. I mean, I don't think, I think that one will go along with it. I just, you know.
You know, we did go through, no one through our email discussions, we went through at least three names for the certificate slash proclamation.
Yeah.
And I believe Ally in Independence was the last one that I threw out there, and I didn't.
I like that one.
Is if that's okay with everybody. Otherwise, you know, I'm willing to keep looking and pull out my thesaurus and look for words with similar meanings.
That is a very good one. Gets the point.
I think one of the ones I had thrown out there was Partner in Independence, and apparently NAGDU.
No, it's Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Oh, Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Oh.
Okay.
I just wasn't comfortable
award,
with giving that.
And there was another one somewhere. I can't remember. There was an issue, but anyway.
I think independence is something that we strive for all the time. So I really, it says what we want it to say.
There was one comment on the list that I think there was a desire if we could work the word blindness or blind into that. So Ally in Blind Independence.
Yeah, I like some. I would like to have blindness in there somewhere because.
Sure.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, I mean, we can revisit the actual name of
sure.
it, but
well, yeah, we can.
We're.
Yeah.
It
early
seems
stages.
Like we're in an agreement that we want two awards, one to be like a significant contribution, and one to be.
I have a question.
Another contribution.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would these be to be reviewed on an annual basis or just whenever one of you was inspired or anything along that line?
I don't think we know.
But as far as I'm concerned, I think if somebody's going to get an award, it shouldn't be, well, who are we going to give it to?
Yeah, you don't
want to
give it yearly.
No, I think only when it's so obvious that, wow, look what they're continuing to do, or wow, what they've really done for
us. Yeah, and I guess this wasn't something that came up in discussion in our email list at all, but I guess the thing that was floating around in the back of my head along that lines was that the reason this came up was because a staff member had somebody in mind.
This is true.
And they wanted some way to recognize this group. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, you know, it might not be so much us going out looking for these people.
Sure.
Maybe it's something that we're very much so aware of and we do find somebody, but definitely that the commission could recommend somebody.
Yeah.
I think we presented at Kool-Aid Days.
Right. Get a picture of Kool-Aid and here's your award.
So if a staff member has somebody that they're working with, you know, quite a little bit,
I think they
could bring that to us and we could then consider it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Other comments on that? Okay, we'll move on to our next item, which is discussion of the state plan.
Okay.
The draft was sent to the board. I'd just like to start with asking if anybody had comments, questions, suggestions, or whatever.
I had one question.
Okay.
At one point in there, I mean, you talk about it in a paragraph, but you actually list a table, I believe, and you list out positions and position categories, and how many people are, how many of those positions are vacant, how many of them are due for retirement, and so on.
Right.
And there are, according to that table at this time, there are no vacancies. Yet we have, it's a concept you're working on where our vendor program does not have a director at this point. I know that how you want that program to work is kind of under review, but that position's still there at this point, isn't it? And then director or I'm sorry, supervisor for the North Platte districts out here. I mean, that's kind of being handled right now by Bob and Carlos, but is that a temporary deal?
Okay, let me speak to both of those. First of all, the section that dealt with this was not about staffing of the entire agency.
Okay.
But it was related to specifically to those providing vocational rehabilitation services, okay, which the business enterprise program really doesn't.
Right.
So that's why that vacancy, which is still a vacancy, does not show up on that grid.
Okay.
The other thing is with regard to the supervisor position, when that change was made, we did actually tell state personnel we did not need that position and we wanted to add a position of a rehab teacher in the Lincoln office.
Okay.
So there, when at some point we decide we really do need to hire a North Platte supervisor again, then we would have to go through state personnel and request that position again.
Okay.
Now, it could be that we'll not reopen the business enterprise manager and request turning that position into a district supervisor. That would be one option. Certainly we wouldn't add a new position anytime soon given budget issues.
Right.
And if I'd like to ask Bob to comment here.
Well, I just wanted to know too that Bob Shanklin's position was not filled when he retired last year. And so I think that position is kind of floating out there too. I think that something that could be moved where the need is greatest as well.
Who's doing Bob's job now? That, since he obviously no longer with us, is it a multitude of people?
It's mostly Candy Larson, who's now an orientation counselor, okay, and Lincoln pretty much took over his.
Okay.
Although there's always redistribution.
Well, yeah, duties as assigned by management is a good way to.
But the position she fills is on paper is the one that you created,
right,
when you got rid of the district supervisor.
Yeah.
So the actual paperwork wise, the position that Bob Shanklin filled is still possibly a vacancy then.
Well, that I was remembering it differently. I thought that we hired a new, we hired a new home teacher to be specialized in working with seniors in the Omaha office. And Lincoln home teacher position then now is in, okay, instead of hiring again in Lincoln,
yeah,
which we don't need an extra person there, right, we basically moved that to, okay, Omaha and did fill it.
No, okay, it all comes back.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. Yep, that makes sense.
Bob shaking his head no. So, you know, some of this, you know, the logistics of it is a little hard to keep track without a flow chart right in front of you, but if you would like a full report on that, I'll have to get back to you.
No, I was just, I know this is a draft document, and it was just one thing that I noticed. I just wanted to bring it to your attention so that you could work out the details as you finalize the document.
I'm glad you did. And actually, though, I do need you all today to have a motion that you will hopefully, please God, approve.
No pressure on the board.
With minimal changes, because it does have to be submitted by July 1 in its final form.
Okay.
So
I'll so move.
Well, we haven't finished talking.
I just wanted, for the record, I'll make the motion. But
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
So let me make a note to check on that.
How many total employees does the agency currently have?
49.
That's how many we're supposed to have. Is that that?
And you'd think that's an easy... well, you would think it's easy, but it actually ends mm-hmm. up not being so easy because we have three people that are part-time. Mm-hmm. And some, like Jamie's, normally is a part-time position, but we've increased her to full-time with stimulus funds for mm-hmm. the period of time of those funds. So mm-hmm. it just makes it a little harder to count.
Okay, mm-hmm. I just thought maybe that was an easier way to come up with.
You would think.
Well, but whether she's full-time or part-time, she's still in a, you know, it still counts as one.
One person, but not necessarily one FTE. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
that's
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And we have like 49 and a half employees.
Yeah, something like that.
I know when I came up with that number, I just went back to the employee roster you emailed out a few months ago,
right,
and I was counting names.
Yeah, that's what I do too. Okay, so double check vacancy. Okay.
And when you bring that up, that just makes me think of the whole shuffle that happened when Kathy Brown in Omaha moved positions and Carol right. Jenkins went up there and all that stuff. And
yeah.
If that's what you're thinking of when that position might have
right.
moved from Lincoln to Omaha.
Other discussion on the state plan?
Well, like Bob has his hand up.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Bob.
That shuffle you referred to in Omaha was triggered by the hiring of an older blind person there, which was made possible by funding, state funding. We were our funding was increased.
Right.
That year, so it was not a position that was moved from somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then
so
that
Bob's
will,
positions.
That will Pearl will get to the bottom of it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, in reading through it, I had to say it flowed easily. It made sense to me. I didn't find any. Unending sentences or incomplete thoughts or that kind of thing.
Good.
That's what I look
good.
For.
So you're looking,
looking
for
right. Oh, no, I need all these.
Well, yeah, you know, because,
general,
you know, we know what kind of mm-hmm. feedback you can get. You need everybody looking at all ends of the thing.
Yeah.
Other?
No, I mean, the rest of it to me, I mean, was fine. I didn't catch anything else that I questioned at all.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve the state plan.
Jim?
Yeah, we do. I made the motion earlier.
So is there
a second?
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the state plan as it is proposed. So we'll vote. Mike?
Yay.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Daryl?
Yes.
And I'm going to abstain because I have not read it since I've been out of town. So.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
We'll work on getting it. It gets submitted electronically, which is a process, but I will work out the details of that one question, and then I'll make sure y'all have a copy of the final before it's submitted.
Okay.
All right.
And that concludes the discussion of state plan. The next thing would be public comment. This is your last opportunity.
Is the public still there?
Someone has a hand up.
Oh,
yes. Just go ahead.
I would like to comment on the conference that you had. I understand that there's not going to be many to do this very often, but it is very beneficial to that age group of people And if it could be done every year, it would catch people before they got into assisted living or left their homes. So I would hope that that would stay somewhere on a footnote on your budget and your thoughts, because it is a good way to get services to the senior blind.
Yes. Is there an estimated cost, that, like, for each person, how much it costs?
Bob, do you know what it costs?
Well, the event itself, not counting the time that paid wages and fringe benefits for staff who worked on this, which is considerable, but the direct cost for transportation and lodging and meals and all that was right in the $40,000 range.
Oh, okay. I thought we had $30,000 before.
Okay. So just in general, that would about...
Yeah.
So if clients or if people would pay some money to attend, like have some kind of a cost, would it be possible to hold something like that yearly? Or?
There has been a committee with the visually impaired peer support to look at the bylaws. And they're less likely to be able to accumulate $45,000 or $50,000.
No, I...
However, if we did that, that was one of our ideas, to make a larger fee. And I was asking people that at the conference, what would they pay to come to one of these? Mm-hmm. And I'll continue to further that idea, talking to individuals, but we can come back with rough statistics, an unscientific survey.
No, I understand.
Right.
I'm just putting
at one of your next meetings.
Yeah. Thank you. That would be great.
I did the math, and it was $180 if there were 222 people. For $40,000, $180 per person,
which is very reasonable.
Yeah, it actually really is.
For 3 meals.
You know, one option that we've thought about, it, when you consider other programs that we do, we limit the number who can participate,
right.
Like with wages or any of them, we have an upper limit, and it could be that we would put on something like this, but say it's open to 100 people, for example.
Yeah, that's what you
and,
do.
And just that was it, you know.
First-time attendees preferred.
Yeah,
pre-
that
have
would
a
be,
preference.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm. There would be things we could do. Of course, if we don't have any money to do extra projects, even that doesn't help. Mm. But there would be some possible things we could look at. Right now, we definitely cannot do something like that again, no, even though everybody knows how valuable it was, no question there, but we don't have the funds.
No.
But, you know,
I understand that.
Yeah, and certainly it is in our minds, you know, as something that was really valuable, and we don't forget that. It's just, how could we do it?
Cool.
Thank you, Bill. As
a point of further clarification, Bob, again. There were 222 heads that we counted as far as in attendance. That is all inclusive as far as drivers, spouses, presenters, and staff. You know, actual clients who attended is more around 130, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Was it that low? I didn't.
Pardon?
I didn't think it was. I didn't think the participation by the clients was that low.
Well, I thought it was lower than I thought too, but that's but when I saw the spreadsheet, you know, earlier.
I'm not doubting you, I just didn't. Yeah,
nice. $305, $310.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do appreciate though that people have, you know, that you guys have data on that, and that helps us to kind of know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even at $300, that's still an incredibly low price for, you know.
Like I said in my report, it was a mammoth project. The vendors enjoyed it, the clients enjoyed it,
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure the staff enjoyed it.
Try to get in someplace and, you know, have a room and have your food, plus have the meeting. $100 a day is nothing.
Didn't hear any negatives.
Many of those events, you guys ask that that people fill out a questionnaire at the end to say how the event was for them, to a survey at the end. I'm assuming that they were asked to do that again this time. And
no,
that wasn't, huh?
Is being done is a telephone survey.
Okay,
and everybody that's the active clients, all active clients are being called. Della was called yesterday, I understand.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the information is being collected. And
okay.
We'll probably miss a few, but it's going to be, we'll wind up, I'm sure, contacting the greater majority.
Okay.
You know, so far the feedback has been extremely positive.
I would be interested. I mean, it's a little out of the norm, I think, from what we normally see. But I would be interested in seeing the results of that.
Yeah.
Survey.
We usually get them.
I know. I've seen some from the commission clients. They go through the center and stuff.
Mm-hmm. We get wages and Winterfest, and we get all of those.
Okay.
Almost all those things.
But I would definitely be interested to see it since I wasn't able to attend it.
Mm-hmm. I love reading those things, by the way.
Yes,
I do too.
It's neat.
They're so uplifting. They really are.
Any more public comments? Okay, hearing none, we will move on. Thank you for everyone's ideas. To our final announcement. I don't have a lot. Our next meeting is in Hastings in August, and I have neglected to write down the exact date.
14th.
Yeah, that's right. Do we have a topic?
Yes, youth services to youth, I think we decided.
Youth, okay, like PI. And
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Youth services sounds good to me.
That's what I said.
I guess that's what it is now.
That's what I remember. Look at the minutes. Minutes would indicate, but that's what I remember.
Are we? I don't mean to be second guessing here, but everything is okay for due to the busyness of that week. We will have
it set up.
We'll have adequate hotel.
Yeah,
it's a Quality Inn.
But I mean, it won't be like so packed that.
I don't know about that.
That is a whole other thing.
I mean, we have hotel rooms and we have a meeting room. So,
right.
So we'll be okay. Okay.
Yeah, we have
real good.
And Kathy did start looking.
Yeah, I know she did.
Early on, because of that very reason.
And I'm assuming.
Yeah, and I wasn't doubting it. I just was trying to make sure.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that the Garden Cafe is doing the lunch for that day. Okay.
Just for the minutes, because Jamie was asking, I know we're staying at the Quality Inn, but the meeting room is also within the Quality Inn, right?
It's at the Garden Cafe.
Which is in the Quality Inn.
Yeah, it's in the same building.
Okay.
And they have private rooms and stuff
they
use.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to discuss youth services.
That's what the minutes said, yeah.
Okay, that's what they say now.
I'm making the decision.
I think that's
it. That's what it was anyway. James got it in there, but that's what it was.
Our November meeting is in Lincoln. Do we have a topic for that one?
I don't remember.
We had tossed around some ideas.
Got out of that already.
Seems like it was in last time's minutes, but I don't have that in front of me.
See, and that's usually where I make the agenda from is from the, and I could have missed it, but I just
for didn't. The sake of, would it be acceptable if you allow Kathy, when the minutes are finalized, that she actually put in there the next meeting's exact location, date, and topic?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That'd be really good. I know we've said in the past, oh, we'll do this by email, but guys, we never get anywhere on topics through email. So
yeah.
What do we want to talk about in Lincoln in November?
I think that topic was decided. I don't remember.
Well, that's what I was asking, if we could have Kathy.
I thought we kicked it around, but hadn't decided for sure.
I don't remember discussing anything. I don't remember reading it.
We have more hours in the room. Somebody can pull it up.
I'm getting it right now.
Okay.
Well, I had some notes from our meeting in Omaha, and I thought I might have had it written down there.
We had talked about starting over, you know, with some of the topics that were done at the beginning.
Well, in a real sense, we have, because when we did the deafblind topic, that was a repeat. You know, I've been here long enough that I, you know some of those. So. But I can't think what else.
We've done developmental disabilities recently.
I'm waiting for that.
Were we thinking once of something with minorities? Or
were we thinking something with employers? Why does that come to mind?
I think that
we've talked about all those things.
I mean, that did come up where we were starting to have to go back to topics that we had covered in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that was mentioned.
So, what's the plan here? Are we gonna
Mike's looking to see.
No, I might not have it here. I mean, don't wait on me here. I might not have it in a timely manner here, so I'm still looking.
Well, I don't have anything else to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm just
recommending that if it already was decided, Kathy will put it in the minutes.
Okay.
If it wasn't already decided, then we'll decide in August, what the topic is.
Right. Yeah, because that would still leave us time to set something.
That's, and that makes sense.
Okay.
All right, good. We'll do it. Did people find homes for the pizza? You guys all have it? Find homes?
Nobody's claimed any of it.
You guys, take it home with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jamie, take it home with you.
The
dog
does
not get to go home for
your dog.
Yeah, take some home to Sydney. I mean, Sydney. I didn't mean that. I don't mean that. But yeah, you take some home.
Get the kids mixed up.
Yeah, I
Well, I can take it to Sydney, Nebraska.
Yeah, there it is.
You could do that.
My home is Chapel, Nebraska.
Okay. Final comments from anyone on anything?
Oh, Lord. That wasn't a comment. That was a statement.
I want to give Kathy a lot of credit for setting this place up. I know she's not here, but this was a very nice place to go.
It was very nice.
And I'd like to recognize and thank Miss Jamie for this.
All right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Good job.
We'll see if you say the same thing.
She thought she had to have it done by Monday.
We have 10 days.
That's what I told her.
I have it. I have it.
Oh, all right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you. The 10 days are the point when the draft minutes need to be available for the public. 10 business days. So that includes the secretary finishing them, giving them to, usually it's me and Julie, to review and make some changes, and then we send it to the board, because why wait 3 months for, you know, if there's little things that were stated wrong or missed. So we try to have all those things done within 10 days.
Yeah, I'll have them to Kathy Monday morning.
Thank you so much.
Wow,
she's efficient.
I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have to hire you.
But if, you know, if it takes till Wednesday, that's fine. That still gives us time.
Sure.
I'll have them to her by Monday.
Jamie, do you think you'll need access to the audio recording?
I don't think so. If I have any questions, I can let you know. I did record some of it myself, but if I have any questions, I can let you know. But I don't think I will.
Okay.
I think we're good.
Did you find it?
Oh, okay. What was it?
Okay. So, obviously, August 14th in Hastings, and that is youth programs.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Okay.
And then the other one I had written down was November 6th in Lincoln. Is the tech team.
Yes, I do remember that. Now that you say it.
That's right. I was thinking it was said, and now
we know.
Are there any beyond that?
No, that's all I had notes for.
Okay. So we'll set the focus topics in November for the rest of
August. Come with good ideas.
What was the November date again?
Youth programs.
The 6th.
So wages, PI, Winterfest, all that good stuff.
So the November one will be the day of Winterfest, probably.
What's the date again?
November 6th in Lincoln.
That's the day of the Iowa State game.
Thank you.
Now, since we're going to always talk about football, and since we are in Lincoln, would there be any way we could have an 8 o'clock start?
Right.
No, and I mean just because...
Traffic?
Yeah, just because you're a little closer. No, the rest of us are a little further.
Yeah, that's true. Is the game in Lincoln? Is the game in Lincon?
I don't know.
No, it's
actually,
not. Okay. So we don't have to worry about traffic. We're okay.
I don't have a problem.
Are there any more on topic?
No,
this is on topic.
I'm serious. 8 o'clock... I really wouldn't have
a problem with starting at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, as long as we're done by 9.
No,
I'm only kidding.
I would just come down the night before.
Forget that. 9 o'clock.
Well,
it depends what this.
Keep in mind, we'll be asking staff to present on a Saturday, and
yeah, you're right.
And an opportunity for the public.
Not to mention public attempting to get there.
No, you're right.
Bus is not necessarily working well. Mm-hmm.
9 o'clock. Yeah. 9 o'clock is perfect.
With the topic at hand that month, if it's the tech team, I don't know what they would be presenting, but they might have some setup that they need to do before the before
true,
the meeting starts.
Yeah. Right. Right.
That's true.
I think it is an away game, though.
So
yeah, we're good.
Hearing no new comments.
I move we adjourn.
All right.
Second.
Jim, that's a move in a second. So we'll adjourn.
Yes.
All right. The meeting adjourned.
Wonderful.
That's the meeting.
Good meeting, Jim.
Adjourned.